Gauranga-ganya-ganagotu-gularu-haram Gauranga-gura-chama-gopyara-kopa-vriksham Upala-gada-ratidam Iti-singha-goram Govinda-deshi-kavaram Sutta-tama-mahi Uttama-adhyama-kichuna-bhachiram-chachiyat-hile-pakola Kahe premanandai mona goranga vidoya dhariya bola Pancha goranga kaha goranga Maha goranga namare Pancha goranga kaha goranga namare Chejana goranga bhaje Se hoy amara prare
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 Hare Krishna Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Yashaiva Padambuja Bhakti Lavya Prema Vidana Padama Pumanta Tasmai Jagam Mangala Mangalaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Madgavir Api Gopala Sri Kriyat Kripaya Jadi Tadaiva Sambhaya Pipa Rishi Yusta Priya Jana Sri Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Sasanatana Rupaka Gopala Raghunathapta Rajabala Dapahima Namo Vrindavanankaya Tubhyam Gurukamolane Pana Brahma Tipataya Namo Govardhanaya Cha Namo Govardhanaya Cha Namo Govardhanaya Cha Antaya Madhurabala Haridasuvaya Yad Rama Krishna Charana Svarasa Pramoda Manam Tanoti Sahago Gena Yustayoya Pani Yasuya Vasakanda Da Kandu Mula Panchakopa Dulu Vishcha Vasindu Vivecha Patitam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So I want to thank everyone very much for coming tonight. Can you hear me okay, Dr. Chaitanya? Yeah? I'll try to talk more in the microphone. So, we'd like to speak something tonight and tomorrow night about Govardhan Leela and some purport of that, how it corresponds to community development. Very important subject matter. Before I start, I want to ask all of you a question I ask people all the time, just to get to know everybody here. It's a really honest question. selecting. We asked this the other day, I think also, that we have a little bit of a new group tonight. How many of you here, before you came to Krishna consciousness, really liked organized religion very much? Raise your hand.
Okay.
It's okay. Second question. How many of you came here to the temple because, damn, you just really like the way those Hare Krishnas organize things and their management is just so good? Okay. I can relate to everybody very much. So, I have a couple questions for you. I think we asked this the other day also. It's a nice question. What is it that since all of you seem to have a problem with organized religion, I take it you probably don't like disorganized religion any better than organized religion, but exactly what is it that you don't like about organized religion? Can someone say?
It's too organized. Misuse of power.
Misuse of power. Okay, what do you think?
Rituals without philosophy.
Ritual without philosophy. You?
Lack of flexibility.
Okay.
Makes individuals dependent on institutions.
It makes an individual dependent on institutions. Loses their individuality, yes.
Hypocrisy.
Oh, God.
Everyone does the same thing, so you lose individuality.
Yeah, kind of like a bunch of robots marching in step. You have something like that? Anybody else? Okay. We were asking this. Yes, something goes on.
Less multicultural.
Less?
Multicultural.
Less multicultural.
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting comment. That's a very interesting comment.
Apart from obviously, I guess,
I have this theory to say something really contemporary, because there's this culture war going on all over the world today between the liberals and the conservatives. And a lot of the conservatives are people who like organized religion, so probably you're not so many conservatives here tonight. But what is it that they're upset about is liberal globalism, is the fact that the World Bank and McDonald's and all these people, all over the name of liberalism and globalism, are destroying cultures all over the world. So we know intuitively that it's nice to have different cultures. It's nice to have different types of people, and that's a very valuable thing in any kind of organization, any kind of spiritual movement. In fact, that makes it a spiritual movement, because material movement, everything, all the cogs work in synchronization, everything's exactly the same. But spirituality means there's variegatedness. It becomes problematic when there's some institution for things. So, if you go up to someone on the street, how many of you here ever distribute books or do Harinam? Raise your hand. Okay, wow, that's really good. So, do you ever go up to people and give them a book and say, hey, why don't you come? We have such a great organized religion. Does anybody ever use that line?
No.
You use that line sometimes.
Wow.
Does it work very well? It's a little shaky, right? Okay, probably they might be a little bit afraid of you and they might run the other direction. Or you could try this one. Go up to them and say, hey, we have such a big, we have 50,000 people coming to our auditorium and you should come and be a member. And see what kind of response you get. And then go to the next person, give them a book and tell them, you know, we really believe in community. And we believe in intimate community and really cultivating that. And what do you think response you'll get from that? Because community is a real catchword today. Why is community such a big thing today? I would suggest because we've wholesale destroyed community all over the world in the name of liberal globalism and other things. Not that the liberals are good or the conservatives are bad or vice versa. We really don't care about either side. Because Hare Krishna devotees, as we were mentioning the other day, there's no one more liberal than us. We respect ants. Right? And there's no one more conservative than us. We'll talk to you about the four regulated principles and you'll start shaking in your chair, right? So devotees are neither liberal nor conservative. But because people all over the world, they need community and they're hankering for this. And I've noticed the same thing in our society of devotees. Because the same thing we see all over the world. One sadhu in Vrindavan once mentioned to me, he said, Madhavananda, the Western devotees are very nice. He said, but only one criticism I have about them, and Western means so many different people today, you know? But he said that you're always moving. You never stay in one place long enough to do your bhajan. So how can we have a community? Here in Soho Street, the turnover is pretty big, I've heard, amongst devotees. It's not such an easy, it's a wonderful, wonderful place, but it's very difficult to be here. Devotees are coming and going and coming and going. So we intuitively, naturally want community. And community is a very, very important aspect of developing bhakti. It's really the way to develop bhakti. On our own is a very, very difficult thing. But at the same time, if we just have an institutional group, that's not a very good way to develop bhakti. Or if we have a new group that's changing faces every few days, or just a bunch of brand new gee whiz kind of newbies, that's also very difficult to develop bhakti. We need to have deep relationships, and that takes time. So we'd like to speak something in regard to this about Govardhan Hill and the Govardhan Leela. We'll say a few words about this, but to begin with, when Krishna suggested to Nanda Maharaj that they worship Govardhan, and Nanda Maharaj finally agreed, and we'll discuss a little more on the details about that in a minute, Nanda Maharaj, he asked him, okay, what mantra should we use? And Krishna personally gave him a mantra. Namo Vrindavanam Kaya Tubhyam Goloka Molane Purna Brahmata Patraya Namo Bhubhudanaya Cha. We printed this in our magazine, right here. This is our magazine about Govardhan Hill. And we gave, I think, let's see here, five different meanings for this verse. It's a very deep verse. General meaning would be that Namo, I offer my obeisances to Govardhan, who is the support and nourishment. He's our support and nourishment, because that's Govardhan. Govardhana means to nourish. He's our support and nourishment. He's our Anka. Obeisances to the crown of Golok. He's Goloka Molane. Obeisances to you, Namo Govardhanaya Cha, who's Purna Brahma Tapatraya, who's the umbrella of Purna Brahma Sri Krishna. Another meaning of the verse is that the word Anka is translated in different ways. Anka means a kind of space just above the hip. Sometimes it's translated as a breast, but or sometimes as a hip or a lap. But it's that place where the mother carries a baby. And so one meaning is Vrindavanasya Anka, that Govardhan is a support of Vrindavan, just as a mother carries a baby in that spot right there, sort of above her hip, that Anka. Similarly, Govardhan, he nourishes and maintains Vrindavan. And nourishing Vrindavan means not just the land of Vrindavan, the rocks or the trees or something, but the bhav, the mood of Vrindavan. And that's a very, very deep thing. We may speak a little something about that tomorrow. I'm just going to see how far we go today. The second way you could, a third way you could understand this verse is Vrindavanasya Anka Tilaka. Anka means that spot above the hip, but Anka also means an ornament. Govardhan is a tilak ornament of Vrindavan. And in our magazine, we gave a commentary, a very rare commentary by Baladevi Vibhushan on Srila Raghunath Das Goswami's Govardhan Vasa Prarthana Dasakam, Govardhan Raghunath Das Goswami's 10 prayers to Govardhan praying for residence there. And in text 8, he says, it's because Radharani calls Giridhar Haridasa Varya, that Giridhar has been described as a brilliant tilak on the forehead of the forest named Vrindavan. Because Radharani says that Giridhar is the best of devotees. So he's the tilak. The Anka also means in the tilak. He's like the prominent ornament of Vrindavan because he's the best devotee. Because Vrindavan is the place of devotees. The fourth meaning is Vrindavanam Anka Ya Asya. That Govardhan, whose resting place is Vrindavan. A fifth meaning is Vrindavanam Anke Yasha. Govardhan, in whose lap is Vrindavan. And Vrindavan is also in his lap. This interpretation is possible grammatically, but it's not so satisfying because it implies that Govardhan is bigger than Vrindavan. Whereas our acharyas and Shastri describe that Giriraj is within a certain area of the Vrindavan forest. So, in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, this pastime is described. And it's described there in the first verse, the 25th chapter. Shukadeva Goswami says, Indrastadatmana pujam vidyaya vihatam nirpa gopevya krishnatevyo nandavibhyaschukopaha. Shukadeva Goswami said, my dear Maharaj Parikshit, when Indra understood, Indrastadatmana pujam vidyaya vihatam nirpa, when he understood that his sacrifice, vidyaya vihatam nirpa, they stopped it. They put it aside. Then Indra became furious. Gopebhya krishnatevyo nandavibhya chukopaha. He became very, very angry with Nanda Maharaj and the other coward men who were accepting Krishna as their Lord. So, in the beginning of this chapter, then Shukadeva Goswami, he reveals the foolishness, the stupidity of Indra's anger. Indra's supposed to be a devotee. And Indra's becoming angry and frustrated because the residents of Vrindavan are accepting Krishna as their Lord and following him. But the simple fact of the matter is that Krishna is the Lord, not only the residents of Vrindavan, but of everything that exists, including Indra. And therefore, Indra's reaction was ridiculous. So in this way, we understand that this pastime deals with pride. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on this. Fasten your safety belt just for a minute. It's a little technical. He says, Panchavimse Shakopabinde Nasaya Varshati Vajasya Rakshamakaro Dhritya Chalya Muchata Krishna Tebhyo Pi Shukopeti Indrasya Matyam Takopashacha Vaifalyam Pratamata Eva Darshitam. The word kopasya means anger. And vaifalyam means useless, fruitless anger. His anger had no benefit to it. So Vishwanath explains that Indra, overcome with anger, he sent this rain to destroy the people of Braj. And Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill in his hand, left hand for 7 days. And Shukadeva Goswami immediately reveals the foolishness of Indra and the absurdity of his anger. That his anger was kopasya vaifalya. His anger was vaifalya. There's no fault. It was very fruitless, useless anger. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has described in one lecture in 1926 something which gives us some understanding about this pastime. He says the artificial, imitative path displayed by some so-called Mahajans is karmakanda, not bhakti. Okay, so it's not bhakti, but in other words, it must look like bhakti. But it's not bhakti. Why is it not bhakti? Because of two qualities that it has. One, it's artificial. And two, it's imitative. We like to oftentimes speak about art and bhakti and how bhakti and art have many things in common. And one of them is that it should be original. Bhakti should be from my heart, not imitative. And simply art shouldn't be imitative. It shouldn't be a copy of someone else's work. And as they say, life should be art. Bhakti should be art. Bhakti is art. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says that bhakti is the soul's natural propensity. That's our natural. Whereas karma kandiya is a temporary act to wring some temporary material result from the material world. So this is an important thing to understand in this pastime. This pastime speaks about two personalities who are exalted devotees. One of them is Indra. I'll pass this around. You can see the little guy in the top right-hand corner. He's riding on an elephant. And he's got a big abhimana, a big attitude. And everyone in the picture is a devotee. But the second very prominent devotee is this mountain here, Govardhan Hill. And Giriraj doesn't look like such a big devotee. Indra takes all the glory and respect from everyone. And you see underneath Govardhan Hill, the cows. There's a calf milking from its mother. There's a cowherd boy milking a cow. And then on the left side, there's something very secret. I'll tell you the secret in the picture. There's a cow giving birth to a calf. Because this is Govardhan. Even though all these rains and terrible storm are coming down, Giriraj is there protecting everyone. I'll pass that around. So, this pastime is told in the 25th chapter of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. And it's also described in different Puranas and by our Acharyas in different ways. Now, it's appropriate that the last discussion we had in our seminar a few days ago was about the Yajna Patnis. Because there's a connection between this pastime, Govardhan Dharana Leela, and Yajna Patni Leela. According to Jiva Goswami, he says that, as we mentioned the other day, that those Brahmins were really disappointed. Although they were attached to all their rules and regulations and rituals and things that they were doing, they didn't recognize Krishna. And they became very humbled, very embarrassed, when it turned out that their wives were just women. That their wives were actually much greater devotees than them. And they treated their wives as their guru, because their wives saw Krishna. And they lamented them. Why didn't we see Krishna? We spoke about this the other day. Why didn't those Brahmins go to see Krishna? Even after their wives came back, the Brahmins could have gone. Right? Why not? The wives came back, they're in ecstasy. We just came from the temple. We saw Krishna. It was really great. So the husbands could have said, yeah, I'm going to go also. But they didn't. Why didn't they go? Does anyone remember? Because?
Out of pride.
Out of pride? No.
Ritual. They are more attached to ritual.
No.
Freedom. Scared of Kamsa.
Because they were scared of Kamsa. You know, Kamsa butters our bread. And I want some butter in my bread. He takes care of us. He feeds us. He pays the bills and things. And he's an angry guy. And who is Kamsa? Kamsa represents the head of mundane religion. Just someone who's promoting rituals and things. So they were afraid to go. So they didn't get that opportunity. So according to Sridhar Swami in his Bhavarga Deepika commentary on the Bhagavatam, he says that this pastime begins at the same village where the Brahmins were doing their yajna. Because the cowherd men, they went there to do this because they take help from those Brahmins. But there's another more intimate reason, Sridhar Swami reveals, because Krishna wanted to give his darshan to those Brahmins. They were too afraid to come on their own. Now the next question comes, those guys, if you know a little Hindi, they're both badmash, they're really rascals. Why does Krishna want to go and give darshan to them? Well, for the same reason that Krishna gave mercy to Kaliya. Kali was also a badmash, but he had some good wives. And so similarly, those Yajna Brahmins also, their wives were very good. And so Krishna wanted to bless those ladies by blessing their husband. So it's said that on one occasion, Nanda Maharaj and his community, they'd shifted temporarily, they left their homes in Nandagaon, and they went to that place where the Yajna Brahmins were staying, and they started working hard to set up a sacrifice. So that day, Krishna had been out herding the cows, and he came back at the end of the day with the cows, and Krishna saw there was so much going on. Everybody's running around and collecting firewood and ghee and cleaning and doing this and that. And Krishna said, Bapa. Bapa is a very sweet word in Sanskrit, which means father. So, Bapa, what are you doing? please tell me. He said, Katyatam Varapita Koyam Sambrama Samupagata Yagyarto Yadideva Ka Pramanam Kim Palam Shakyam. Father, please tell me what you're so busy with. And if it's a sacrifice, then Yagyartam Yadideva Ka Yadideva Ka. Who's the devata of the sacrifice? Pramanam Kim. What, on what scriptural basis do you perform this? Is this a Shastric thing? Is this something Vedic? Or is this just a local tradition? And Phalamcha Kim, what result do you want from this sacrifice? Nanda Maharaj didn't say anything. He looked at his boy. And the other cowherd men who were also there, they also looked at him. You see, Krishna was 7 years old at that time. The seven-year-old boy comes and starts asking you, what are all these rituals that you're doing for Janmashtami, and what is the meaning of that mudra, and what are the mantras that you're chanting? What are you going to tell to a seven-year-old child? They just kind of looked at him and thought, he can't understand. And they didn't say anything. But Krishna persisted. He said, Bapa, it's not good. He said, it's not good that I only know how to take care of the cows. I should know some philosophy. I should know some religion also. So I'm approaching you because you're so intelligent and I want to learn. Besides, Bapa, I may have to do this someday. So I should know. Please explain it to me. I really want to understand. Father, you're a saintly person. Saintly persons treat everyone equally. And what to speak of family members? I'm your own son. So please tell me. Nanda Maharaj's heart melted. And he looked at his Gopal. And Nanda Maharaj tried his best to explain. He said, well, Lala, this ceremony, it's a popular custom. And because we've been doing it for so long, we consider it to be Vedic. He said, in our family, this Indra Puja has been performed for a very, very long time. And because of the performance of this Indra Puja, we have prosperity, and there's no problems, there's no disturbances, anything. And who is the devata of this sacrifice? It's Indra. Indra is a very big, big devata. He's the king of all the devas. He's a very important person. The clouds are controlled by him. And we're gwalas. We're cowherd men. So we're dependent on the rain. That rain, he provides grass. He provides water to drink and everything. Without that rain, we can't take care of the cows. And if this worship is not done, there won't be any rain, the grass won't grow, we won't be able to take care of our cows. So it's very important that we do this Indra Yajna. Krishna was listening to that, and although externally he was smiling, internally Krishna was unhappy. He was thinking to himself, who does this Indra think he is? These Brijbasis, as we were saying the other day, Krishna's a homeboy. These Brijbasis, these are my family members. They're millions of times more exalted than this impudent Indra. And he dares to insist that they worship him. I put Indra in charge. I made him the GBC of the universe. He's the temple president in charge of everything. But now, he's becoming a little proud because of that. So it's time to break Indra's pride. And Krishna began to speak in such a way to make Indra very angry. And Krishna, he told his father, Papa, you say that Indra accepts our worship, Father. Have you ever seen him? Does he come here? Has he come and accepted the offerings? Papa, where does he live? Nanda Maharaj says, oh, he lives in the heavenly planets. Mm-hmm. Ah, Krishna said, yeah, Papa, he's a big, big devata. What does he need with offerings from us little gopas? Is he a beggar? Is he poor? Huh? Does he need something? He doesn't need anything from us. Therefore, I say that everything happens because of nature. Nature is supreme. And because of nature, fire burns and water flows. Our nature is to take care of the cows. So, Kavi Kanipur says that Krishna told his father, that father, it's not a fact that it only rains when people worship Indra. It rains during the monsoon. If you've been in southern India or Orissa, West Bengal, during the monsoon season, it's quite an intense period of time. We go away sometimes for a few months and we come back and there's mold on the walls and all your pillows are rotten and things because there's so much moisture in the air. So Krishna told Indra, told Nanda Maharaj, there's constant rain during the monsoon season. No one's doing Indra Puja. In fact, that monsoon gives everybody a big headache. And moreover, Papa, do the seas and the mountains, do they worship Indra? Indra makes it rain there, over the ocean, over the mountains. So nothing will happen if you don't worship Indra. So Nanda Maharaj says, but we should do some puja, we should do some worship. And when we do some yajna, there has to be a devata to accept the offerings. So then Krishna told him, Baba, since we're cowherders, we should worship Giriraj. And Giriraj will be our big, big devata. Aside from that, Baba, I'd like this puja very much. So there's many important lessons, even in this part of the story already. One is that Krishna is a seven-year-old boy. But in this community, it's not that only the elders are respected. Anyone is respected who has a good voice. It's not that we just only examine someone by how old they are, how many gray hairs they have, what your gender is, who you're initiated by, how many verses that you know. But in a healthy community, everyone is given some respect according to how Krishna conscious they are. And Krishna is very Krishna conscious. So everyone's listening to him. They're very eager, even though he's a seven-year-old boy, even though in some ways it doesn't make any sense to them to do it. So another point is that everyone should have some puja to do. And in this community, everyone's coming together around Giriraj Govardhan, around Krishna. And they're taking advice from Krishna. It's not just that they're only going to take advice from big persons. In fact, they're not asking Indra for advice. They could ask advice from him. He's the king of the demigods. But they're not interested in his advice. They take the advice of a little boy instead. Because a little boy is Krishna conscious, even though Indra is a big guy in charge. Very interesting point. So when Krishna, he suggested to Nanda Maharaj that because we're gwalas, we're cowherders, we should worship Giriraj. Then Nanda Maharaj, he said, Lala, okay, we'll do that. He said, but that'll be a second yajna. First of all, we'll worship Indra, and then later on, we'll do this Govardhan Puja. Another point that's significant here, Krishna told Nanda Maharaj, because we're gwalas. Now this is a really important aspect of community, and this is one place where we have a big problem. We don't generally have much of an identification. And so I see a lot of Hare Krishna communities with this problem. You have people from so many different ethnic and social backgrounds, cultural backgrounds. It's very, very hard to be on the same page, and different people have different conceptions of what the purpose of the community is. This is one reason why I like Silver Street very much, and the London Yatra in general, because you have one broad conception of why we're here and what we're doing. Right? We're doing the Sankirtan Yajna. And just like all the bridge bosses, they understood we were here to do some yajna. And whatever yajna we do, Krishna's telling Father, we should do that, we should worship that devata who is according to our nature. And since we take care of the cows, we should worship the devata who takes care of the cows, who govardhana. Go means the cow, and Vardhana means to nourish. We should worship Govardhana. So in our community, in a place like Soho Street, our big, big devata is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. Because Srila Prabhupada came and told us, you do this thing, we're doing it for his pleasure. And Srila Prabhupada has told us, you do this for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's doing this because he wants to please Radha Nandanishwar. Prabhupada named the deities Radha Nandanishwar to make this point, this is the boss here in London. It's not the queen. Please forgive us. But it's Sri Sri Radha Nandanishwar. They're in charge of everything. And those are our devatas. So when we have a devata, when we're doing a sacrifice, we want to have a devata that we're pleasing. This is part of the first, one of the first things that we need to do when we begin our sacrifice. Why am I doing it? I should do it for some reason from the heart. I was speaking about this yesterday. Not just because I want to, or it seems like a religious thing to do or something, but I'm doing it for the pleasure of someone else. So Nanda Maharaj, he said, Lala, to satisfy you, we'll do a second puja for Giriraj. And Krishna said, no, Baba, don't delay. You use everything that's already been prepared to satisfy Giriraj instead. You have faith in my words. Worship Giri Baba, and he'll take care of everything. So then Nanda Maharaj and the elder cowherd men, they discussed. Krishna's voice is being listened to, and everyone respects Krishna so much. Everyone wants to please Krishna so much. But still, there's some hierarchy, and there's some beauty to that. Krishna has his seniors, and we should have some seniors in our life. If we don't have any seniors, it's very, very depressing. If I don't recognize anybody's being senior to me, what a lonely, miserable life I'll have. If you try to go to Krishna and tell him, you know, Krishna, no one's senior to you. You're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maybe he'll start crying. He gets so much pleasure from having his mother and his father. And even he gets pleasure when his mother comes with a stick to chastise him and a rope to tie him up. So there's pleasure in having some superiors, some authorities. So Krishna didn't push himself on those cowherd men. They discussed amongst themselves, but because they all wanted to please Krishna, they all immediately agreed. Even though they've been doing that Indra Puja for many, many generations, they instantly gave it up. And this is a very interesting thing. Because sometimes in our life, we have different rituals. Sometimes we come from some particular religious background, sometimes even a Vaishnava background or a Hindu background. And we have these rituals and things in our family, and sometimes they're very difficult to give up. Or even as devotees. We've been learning different things and we're going on for a long time. I told a story the other morning downstairs. I think it was Saturday that we spoke about this. Maybe Sunday. I'll repeat this, that in the Bagh Bazar Temple, Rodia Mutt, in Kolkata, I heard this story from some of the residents there, that one day it was a Kadasi, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was up in his room, and it was late in the morning, maybe 10 o'clock, and he could hear kirtan, and many devotees doing kirtan. He came up, called the temple commander, what's going on? Why aren't the devotees out doing sankirtan, book distribution? I said, Guru Maharaj, today's a Kadasi. And it's difficult to fast and go out. And so they're doing kirtan here today. And so the Bhaktisiddhanta, they told the devotees, make khichdi. And then he had everyone sit down. He personally went and served everybody out khichdi and said, now get out there. You go and you ship your books. So sometimes we have our conceptions, even as devotees. We become attached to some particular ritual, a particular ceremony, but we forget that we're doing this for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. We're doing this for the pleasure of our Gurudev. And then sometimes something may change. Therefore Krishna says, in the 12th chapter of the Gita. But that devotee who's not attached to the ordinary course of activities is very, very dear to me. Don't be attached to the ordinary course of activities. Naranja Maharaj is always telling us a story that he was going out in book distribution in Boston regularly. He got so much happiness. And then one day the temple president came and said, we don't have a pujari, and we want you to do the pujari service and cook. And it practically broke his heart, because he wanted to go out for book distribution. And he was cooking, I think, all three offerings during the day and doing some of the artiques, and like had a huge burden of service load, we should say. But still, he was finding time a couple hours a day, and he would sneak out the back door of the temple with a bag of books and go to distribute them, because he knew Srila Prabhupada wanted that. It gave Srila Prabhupada pleasure. So in our sacrifice, we need a devata that we're doing the sacrifice for. And it should be something personal. And this is bhakti yoga. Prabhuji was asking me yesterday, how do we meditate on Krishna? How do we meditate on the orders of Guru? How do we meditate on the pleasure of Guru? And my answer to him was that if you're in love with a girl, nobody has to tell you you should think about her. It just comes automatically. And similarly, if we have a very close relationship with Gurudev, nobody has to tell us to meditate. It just comes automatically. And we give our heart to that person. And this is bhakti. So this is braj. So Nanda Maharaj accepted. He said, Lala, then how should we do this puja? Krishna replied, Tasma dabira vaishyadad agnaya seva tuna kriti devata yadi manheta mantavya satarashraya. We're abhiras. Abhiras mean people who are moving around all the time. We don't have any one place to stay. We're cowherders. Our duty is to take care of the cows. So if we're to worship some devata yadi manheta mantavya satarashraya, we should take shelter, ashraya, of a devata who's going to protect our cows. So he told Nanda Maharaj that you should bring pots full of milk and make first-class milk sweets like sweet rice and dahi and burfi and things. Cook so many tasty foods and fancy cakes. Bring leaf bowls full of ghee, honey, and nectar drinks. You make an ocean of yogurt, buttermilk, and fresh butter. Make a mountain out of mishri, rock candy, and cover all the directions with shikharini, with salt. He said, send messengers to the Brahmins, because we want to worship the Brahmins, those persons who are worshiping the Lord. And you should feed them sumptuously. And Krishna then gives a very important instruction for these festivals. Listen carefully. This is Kavi Karnapur mentions this in Nanda Vrindavan Champu. He says, when you feed the Brahmins, how much do you feed them? He says, you feed them until they start laughing. That's very important. If you ever go to a big Hare Krishna festival, you can tell how successful it is. After the feast, and all the devotees, about 5 or 10 minutes later, all of a sudden you hear them start laughing and laughing. It means it was a good feast, a good festival. He said, then the Brahmins, they'll consider our yajna successful. You call the priests to perform a fire sacrifice, and you give cows to the Brahmins in charity. So we want to support the devotees who are doing the yajna, who are doing the worship. We want to glorify them. We want, because then as a society, as a community, we want to go in that direction. Yeah, I wouldn't mind being appreciated also. So maybe I'll also do something to help glorify Krishna, to help push on this movement. So as a community, we should appreciate book distribution. We should appreciate when devotees are going out and preaching, and we should glorify those devotees. This is Govardhan Puja, because these persons are the Brahmins who are doing the sacrifice. And part of the Govardhan Puja is you glorify those Brahmins who are doing the sacrifice. And Kavi Karnapur says that those among you who are simple-hearted, which means everyone in Braj, those among you who are simple-hearted, you should feed the Brahmins. In other words, everybody should feed the Brahmins. And in other words, when we see devotees going out and doing book distribution, we should all try to support that activity. directly or indirectly. Everyone should be supportive of that. And then it makes a wonderful atmosphere in a community if everyone supports that. I'm trying to see if I can find this statement. There's a nice statement from Prithu Maharaj. Anyway, it said that there's three persons who share the result of an activity equally. And that is the person who orders it, the person who executes it, and the person who supports it. This is a statement of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, not everybody can go out. Some people need to also stay back, and they need to get some direction for that thing. Some people can't go out, and it's really hard, and maybe they also can't give direction, but they can give support. And they can give support in many different ways. We can give some donation, we're working a job or something. Give something. Give something. You can give £1 a week. You can probably give more than that. But give something. And then your consciousness, your heart will feel good. I'm supporting this sacrifice. It's an important sacrifice. Or you can support it by cooking for the Brahmins. Cooking for the devotees who are going out. When they go out for book distribution, you make sure you're there when they come back. And give them some sweets, some prasad or something. And see the smile on their face. They'll be very, very happy. And you'll also get benefit from that thing. And those devotees will feel inspired to go and do that. So everyone should support it. Krishna, he told Nanda Maharaj that you should make an anukut. Anukut's a big word. I don't want to go in the direction. We wrote a long article about this, which you never printed. But ana means grain. Ana also is a word for Vishnu. And Kuta means hill. And it has other meanings as well. But it means the hill that is Vishnu. So we should make this hill that is Vishnu, meaning that our sacrifice is made up of Krishna's names. It's done for the pleasure of Krishna, and the sacrifice itself is Krishna. It's Krishna's names. So you make this anukut, and you put all types of vegetables and different things around it, and you offer this to Giriraj Govardhan, and he says, and then when you finish that, very important, this is part of the sacrifice, you feed the Brahmins, the persons who are doing the ceremonies and things, who are doing the yajna, and then he said, you should give food to everyone else. That's very important in the sacrifice. Everyone should be fed. And Krishna particularly told him that you give to the dogs, the dog eaters. He said, tadevam supaka. Supaka means the dog eaters. Tadevam supaka swa paryantavya pradantavyam natu prakasya santyeti abhipretya sarvam nirvachani kritya prakekam pavatarnam praha. You should give charity to everyone, the dog eaters and dogs, to the Brahmins, to the cows, to the birds, to the deer, to every, but only one person. Don't give anything to Indra. Give to the dogs, but don't give to Indra. It's very bad. So he said, you should do massive kirtan. You should play all types of wonderful instruments, and the Brahmins, they should go, and they should start their yajna with perfectly pronounced mantras. And he says, the entire atmosphere will become surcharged with these auspicious sounds. I've done some reading from different sociologists and people about community. And there's one, I don't want to mention names, but there's one leading sociologist who's maybe the world's foremost authority on community. Her name is Diana Leaf Christian. She's written several very good books about community. And she says some interesting things about community. The community requires three things to be successful. She studied all over the world and why it is that 90% of the communities, the planned communities, why they fail. Because they don't have one or more of these aspects. One of the aspects is you need to have some proper financial aspect. As much as we like to think that as somebody once said that if somebody comes and tells you that money is the root of all evil, right? Run the other direction as fast as you can. Because that person's about to hit you up for something, for some money. Because everybody requires some money. Every community requires some kind of financial basis. Even Vrindavan is based on the cows. It requires some management. And we hear in this pastime, Jiva Goswami describes that before they began the Indra Puja, Nanda Maharaj, who told everyone, come with me, we're going to Manasi Ganga. And at Manasi Ganga, what did they do? Huh? You don't know? You don't remember? What do you do when you begin a sacrifice and you begin something?
Sankalpa.
You perform Sankalpa. And what is the meaning of Sankalpa? Sankalpa means something fixed. It means a vow. Sankalpa means a statement of purpose, a resolution in my mind. This is why we have sacred marriage and there's vows taken in front of everyone. This is my purpose. It's an important thing. And it's important because we should all be on the same page. And she mentions that, interestingly, Dhyanalith Krishna, that communities that don't have a statement of purposes, that don't have a constitution, don't understand what their purpose is, it becomes very, very difficult. Here in Soho Street, you're fortunate, I think. It's very clear what your purpose is. You're not here for a life of peace and quiet, hanging out with the cows and sitting in the grass. But you're here to please Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this community is working to that extent, at least. So that's required. So he said, should be some monetary thing, it should be some management thing. And the third thing is the glue. She says, every community requires some glue to stick together. And you'd be interested to know, after studying for many, many years, this lady's not a Hare Krishna devotee. She said that there's four aspects of glue, four types of glue. And she studied this thing historically, sociologically, that the more you have these four items, the more you have a community spirit. The first thing is, you should eat together. Your meals are very, very important. That's why your mother always told you to come to dinner. Because it's important that we have a family atmosphere. And she said, the more that people have meals together, once a week, twice a week, once a day, three times a day, the more that people take their meals together, the more they get on the same page. It's important. And what to speak? When it's bhukte bhojayate chaiva, sabhidam padilakshma. These six loving exchanges, two very important ones, which brought so many people to the Krishna conscious movement, which probably used to call the kitchen religion, are prasadam, distribution of prasadam, taking, eating food together. So the next aspect, which is also, this is one of the most important aspects, of course, of Govardhan Leela, the distribution of prasadam. Another important aspect of Govardhan Leela, Krishna tells Nanda Maharaj, is the next thing that she mentions, and he says there should be some storytelling. You should get the bards to come and they should tell stories from the Puranas. Should be some Krishna katha. It's described in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Paraspurana Katanam Pavanam Bhagavad Gita, Mita Ratya Mitas Tusya Navita Mita Atmana. The devotees should learn how to associate with each other by coming together and having Krishna katha, by keeping Krishna in the center. Adi Lila Sato Chara Satesha Pata Satatam Tvaya Karya Pata Savahari Yata Bhakti Nanashiti. The Sapata Tantra describes that we should love devotees. Why? How do we love devotees? Because we like to go to the same movies together? No. We love devotees because they're speaking Krishna Katha, because they're doing kirtan, because they're doing this sacrifice. And if we love them in that way, then yata bhakti nanashyati, your bhakti will always be protected. This is Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, it's interesting, they didn't have so many different opinions and different problems and everything, because everybody was on the same page. They didn't have to worry about having big meetings, should we really do this or not? It was a simple thing, because everybody wanted to please Krishna. So we may have a community, we may have good economic basis, we may have good management, but if you don't have Krishna Katha, what's the value? And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, very interestingly, he saw that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would stress kirtaniya sadahari. You should always do kirtan. He stressed kirtan like anything. Param vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. And because of that stress that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, in West Bengal, there was a culture of kirtan. But he saw there was something lacking. How can you say something is lacking? The non is everything. What was lacking was they didn't have faith in Krishna Kirtan. And so the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that you cannot separate Krishna from his Swarup Shakti, Srimati Radharani. Similarly, you can't, the holy name is Krishna, also has Swarup Shakti. And the Swarup Shakti of Krishna Nam is Krishna Katha. It's not enough to just have one and not have the other. I think we were also saying something about this the other day. We can't stress it enough. Cholike, Mahanta Mele, Koriye Kirtana Kelis, Sepi Sampradaya Gayagi. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Kirtan and Puri, everyone's welcome. Everyone comes together. But Krishna Katha is another thing. Krishna Katha is the next step. If we want to come close together, if we want to build a very deep rapport amongst devotees, then Guya Makyati Prakshati, we need to have something confidential. So Dayanali Krishna, this sociologist, she recognizes this. She says, eating together is the first thing. Second thing is, you should tell stories. Third thing is, you should sing together. That's very important. Okay, well, we can also relate to that. Because the more that we come together for kirtan, Kali kuku kadanjari chao he, Kali yuga pavana kali boyanasana, Sri Sachi nandana gao he, Kali kuku kadanjari chao he. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sings that we should, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he kicked out this dog of Kali. He did that with the holy name. So if we don't come to kirtan, Prabhuji, I have no time, I'm staying out late for book distribution, I'm doing so much service in the restaurant, I have to get some rest, I'm tired, I don't have time to come for kirtan, then we'll find quarrel will come. I remember when Krishna Kumar and I got married, we went to see one elderly sadhu, an old friend of our Gurumaj. And he told us, he said, I have one advice for you in your marriage. He said, every day you should do kirtan. Because kirtan drives out Kali. And it's not just the grihasthas, the brahmacharya should also do. And everybody should do kirtan every day. And the quarrel goes away. And I heard one sort of story, one sadhu was living in Orissa. And he was living with extended family. He had his wife. And his wife's mother was living with him, and his mother was living there, and his sister was also in the house, and they had some daughters. And it's, as is often common in extended family, and maybe you can understand here in this little tiny place, this little tiny center, sometimes there was a little conflicts. And sometimes there was even big quarrels. And especially sometimes, well, don't mind me saying this, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Prabhupada said, you can have any number of mustaches under the same roof. If they have more than two breasts, then immediately there's going to be conflict. It's a little difficult sometimes for ladies to get together and work together, and especially in tight quarters. So when they start quarreling and shouting at each other and things, then he would pick up a big pair of janjas, wampers, and so, hey, Krishna, 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 and said, and nobody could hear anything. Until finally they just calmed down and rolled their eyes in their head, okay, we're all ready to stop. And the quarrels stopped. So this is required. These three things so far, the four things are all there together. She said, the first thing is we should eat together. Second thing, we have stories together. Third thing is you should sing together. The more the communities do these four things, the more they come together. And the last thing is you should dance together. This is what she said. She's a sociologist. And she studied cultures all over the world historically. And the more that people do these four things together, and you might be in a Jewish tradition, you might be in an Islamic tradition, you might be in a Hindu tradition, whatever it may be, but there's cultures all over the world that have these four aspects. And these are very important aspects. And these are the basis of our Krishna conscious movement. And these are the basis of Govardhan Puja. Krishna told Nanda Maharaj, you feed everyone. You have the Brahmins come, and the Brahmins should tell stories. And everyone should go and they should sing. And what should they do? They should dance. And dancing isn't just something formal that you take some lessons in, or like some robots or something in a synchronized way you do. Dancing is when you can't control yourself and your feet just start moving on their own. And that happens when the kirtan comes from the heart. And then it enters into our ears and goes back to our heart, and something happens to your body then, and you just can't stop dancing. This is Krishna conscious dancing. And when we come together in this way and do these things, then everything is very, very blissful, very, very wonderful. So when Amavasya, the new moon day, came, all the residents of Braj, they observed Deepavali. And then the next day, on the Pratipat means the first day of the month, they observed the festival that Krishna recommended. And all the Brajbasis, they came together, they decorated Govardhan Hill in such a wonderful way, with banners and flags and different colors and ornaments and pictures and things, different colorful cloths and things. Sometimes you see in some parts of India, like you may read how Prabhupada and the devotees were doing kirtan and surat, and the ladies were taking their big saris and they were stringing them from one side of the road to the other side of the road and making like a canopy. And it creates such a wonderful atmosphere. And so many flowers and so many garlands and things they were giving. And the Brijbasis, they all came together and they began to sing. Jaya Giri Govardhane Arati Hari Radhika Madhava Nichalaya so many items, There were thousands and thousands of carts coming from all parts of Braj. And all those carts were full of huge pots, full of cooked rice and sabjis and dal and sweet rice and so many different things. It was like an ocean of carts from all over Braj. Everybody was singing. The sound was so tumultuous, just like an amazing kirtan. When you do kirtan, it's nice when we do kirtan with 5 or 6 devotees. But when you do kirtan with 500 or 600 devotees, has anybody been in a kirtan like that? When you do kirtan with a group like that, all of a sudden it's like the whole world stops. People are, oh my God. Yeah, 4 or 5 devotees, yeah, those guys are just weird. We'll just ignore them. Don't look at them, dear. It's okay. Just listen like that. But it's 500 or 600 people. Oh my God, and people just stop and their jaws just hit the ground. And they start dancing too. They just can't help it. They become completely ecstatic. So this sacrifice is going on. Everyone, hundreds and thousands of people were bringing thousands and thousands of carts from everywhere. There's an ocean of carts, an ocean of boga. And everybody was thinking one thing in their mind. They're all doing the sacrifice. But they were all thinking one thing in their mind. They weren't thinking, I want to distribute the most today, the most books. I want to get the maha plate or whatever. They weren't thinking like that. All of them were thinking, we want to do whatever is pleasing to Krishna. We want to go out and we want to think of Srila Prabhupada. An old man who went across the ocean, he had 2 heart attacks in 2 days and arrived with 40 rupees. It's like nothing in his pocket. He had 40 rupees when he left India, when he left to go back to India again. He didn't know anyone. He had nowhere to go in a strange country. It was a really strange country, a really huge cultural difference from Vrindavan. To go from Vrindavan to the Bowery of New York, it was a huge, huge thing. And he had such a heart. Srila Prabhupada, I've often heard it commented, had something that many of his godbrothers didn't have. Although Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent some of his most expert preachers here to London, they made one lady devotee, and that's all. And they were going around there meeting different lords and different important people. But Srila Prabhupada, he went to the young people. He went to the people on the street. He went to the people who had no money, who had nothing. Prabhupada loved all of them. He didn't want to just go to the most important people. Prabhupada went there for everyone. And he attracted so many people to come. So this is our sacrifice. When we go out, we should be thinking, what are we thinking about when we go out? We should be thinking, Srila Prabhupada did so much. He's so kind, so loving. Let me do something to please him. Let me help my spiritual master please Srila Prabhupada. Let me help this project. Let's work together in this. So many gopis were coming. Some of them were dancing. Some of them were singing songs about Krishna and his pastimes. And they came dressed in beautiful new cloth. It was very colorful and glittering. They were so very, very beautiful. And Jiva Goswami says that actually the gopis didn't even give a fig about the puja. They didn't care about the yajna, and they didn't care about the devatas. They only came for one purpose. They wanted to see Shamsundar Krishna. Could you imagine if we all went out and did this sacrifice with the same attitude? I just want to see Krishna. And I'm told that if I go out, please, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he may appear before me. I really want that. I really want that. I want to see him. I want to please him so much that he'll appear. Could you imagine? If everybody had that attitude, that's Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, there's no quarrels. Because everybody's on the same page. They want to please Krishna. And we can come to that platform when we have Krishna Katha together, when we discuss amongst ourselves. If we don't discuss, even if we just do kirtan and we do book distribution, that's nice. But we should come on the same page philosophically. We should understand why we're doing things. And this Krishna Katha gives us some heart. If we hear a Krishna book, if we hear about the pastimes and the beauty of Krishna, then our heart, something comes in our heart. We want to worship Krishna. We want to please him. We want to chant his names. So they performed that Sankalpa ceremony at an auspicious time. And everybody was informed that this yajna is exclusively for Giriraj. For that person who's Govardhana, who nourishes the cows, to please Krishna. And from now on, no more yajnas for Indra. And what does that mean? Who is Indra? Well, we have two different categories of bhakti. There's Vaidhi bhakti, and there's Raghunuga bhakti. There's bhakti which follows the rules and regulations, and there's spontaneous devotion. Indra, he represents the devatas, which are like the epitome, the last limit of Vaidhi, of rules and regulations. And Krishna's saying, no more. No more worship of him. Now we just want to think of the pleasure of Krishna. Sometimes people, they say, how do we perform Raghunuga bhakti? What kind of question is that? It's like, how do I love my girlfriend? Can you please talk to me? You don't have to tell someone how to love somebody else. It's natural. The first thing is you should have the love. If there's no love there, then you can say, well, you should first shake her hand, and then maybe you should give some chocolates, and you should get in a formal way, a Japanese tea ceremony or something. But it's just natural and simple. If someone really cares about someone else, you don't have to think about so many rules and regulations and this and that and the other. So that puja began, and Nanda Maharaj, he announced to everyone, since Giriraj is the biggest devata, he's the biggest devata because he's Govardhana. Go means the cows. Go also means the gwalas, the cowherd people of Vrindavan. And go also means the senses, our spiritual senses. And Vardhana means to nourish. So Govardhan, he nourishes the cows who please Krishna. Govardhan nourishes the cowherd people of Vrindavan. And Govardhan nourishes our spiritual senses. So we're going to offer worship to Giriraj and beg for his blessings. Nanda Maharaj offered a huge hill of bhoga to be offered to Giriraj. And they offered so many, they offered lakes of things to drink, sweet rice, and sabjis, and samosas, and so many, many different things. And Krishna told Nanda Maharaj, Baba, now everyone should close their eyes, fold their hands, and everyone together should offer this Baba to Giriraj. This is also community. We have our Brahmins, but community means that we're all doing the yajna. This is the way we were trained when I joined in Los Angeles in 1982, that everybody is helping with book distribution and preaching. You may be a preacher, you may be a pujari, you might be a cook, you might be a cleaner in the temple, but everything we should see being connected with book distribution, with the sacrifice. The pujari is thinking on dressing Radhalinga and Ishvara in such a beautiful way that when new people come into the temple and they see the deities, their mind's going to become stolen. And it's going to become stunned standing in front of Radhalinga and Ishvara, and they're going to want to come every day to see them. I want to dress them in such a wonderful way. And the cook is thinking the same thing. I want to offer such loving items to Radhalinga and Ishvara, but the prasadam is so amazing that people will just want to move into the temple. They want to dedicate their life to Krishna. And the devotees are cleaning the temple. They're thinking that I want to clean this so nice to please Prabhupada, Radhalinga and Ishvara. And so that when people come, they're astonished, my God, this is a spiritual world. This place is so very, very clean. And so when everybody has that kind of attitude, that's Vrindavan. That's a Vrindavan village. When everybody is working in a cooperative way, in a cooperative spirit like that. You know? So everyone began singing these songs to Giriraj, you know? So very, very loudly. Jaya Giri Govardhana. Sound I was mentioning, it pervaded the whole atmosphere. It went beyond the atmosphere. And we were mentioning this, right? When you have a kirtan, five or six devotees, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Have you ever seen someone do kirtan just with a pair of kartels by themselves? We've done a couple two-man kirtans. I've been out like that myself once or twice. It's kind of fun. It's better with a harmonium if you sit down by yourself. But people are not so impressed with it. But if you have 500 or 600 people, if you have hundreds of thousands of devotees and they're all rich bhasis and they're all on the same page, they want to please Krishna. And the kirtan is so ecstatic and everyone is so loving and they're coming together and singing. That sound permeates the whole atmosphere. And Jiva Goswami says that it pierced the sky and it went to the heavenly planets and it entered Indra's ear. Oh, Indra, when he heard that sound, he started getting a big earache. So he went to see the Ashwini Kumaris, his doctors. He said, I got this earache, I don't understand what it is. And they said, they did their little test. They said, this sound is going to be like a javelin stuck in your ear. It's going to make you very, very unhappy. Everybody else was so very, very ecstatic. So when that Anukut, that hill of rice and foodstuffs was offered to Giriraj, then suddenly a gigantic form that was glowing like thousands and thousands of suns became visible. And he appeared like a second Govardhan Hill. And this is a very deep esoteric thing. We wrote something about this in our magazine. Who is that second personality? And because Krishna started speaking to him. And that second person was, I am Govardhan. He spoke in a real deep voice. Krishna, everybody was looking at him first. They said, my God, who is this? What is this? And then Krishna, he asked him, great Devata, who are you? And then with a voice like a rumbling thundercloud, he said, oh little boy, I am the hill. Silo Smi, says in the 10th canto. I've come to accept all your offerings. And so Krishna, everyone became so excited. And then Krishna turned to Nanda Maharaj and said, Baba, did Indra ever come? Did he ever show himself when you made some offering? Now let me ask all of you a question. You're all doing a sacrifice. You're all working together. Pretty much everybody in this room. And I offer my humble pranams, very sincerely, to all of you for doing this wonderful sacrifice. But I wonder, when you're doing this sacrifice, are you thinking, maybe we'll get to see the Lord of the sacrifice, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Once in Mayapur, the devotees were taking rest, and it was about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, and suddenly they heard some shouting and screaming, and some of the devotees woke up and they came out, and they saw, much to their concern, that their Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, had gone mad. He was out in the middle of the night, jumping up and down, crying profusely, and shouting, and then he saw that, he said, "There! Did you see them? Did you see them?" And the devotees said, "No, Guru Maharaj." One devotee, they say, saw. He said, "There, the Panchatattva. They're dancing. They're doing kirtan. Srila Prabhupada, here in London." He told, what's his name? I can't remember his name. This devotee made a nice, Padmalokshan Prabhu, made a nice vyasasan for Prabhupada on Bury Street. Prabhupada came and sat down, gave a lecture, and afterwards he went up to his room. And then a devotee came down and said, "Padmalokshan Prabhu, Prabhupada's calling for you." Padmalokshan went upstairs, "Yes, Srila Prabhupada, what is it?" Prabhupada said, "You did a nice job with the vyasasan, I like it. Now I want you to make two more, okay? The small ones. One for Lord Brahma and one for Indra, for Narad Muni. Because they're coming every day. We don't know. This is the perfection of our sacrifice. When we see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates." And it's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Jabiyama prati sneha take sadaka tatbe Ajapiya Chaitanya Shabalila Kori. Right now, right here in this room, right today on Oxford Street in London, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is performing all his pastimes. Right now. And those persons who are Drishti Adhikari, who are very fortunate, they can see it. And this is the purport of Govardhana Leela. When we offer Govardhana Puja, we try to please Krishna by pleasing the Brahmins, by pleasing the devotees, by feeding everyone. Then if we do our yajnas successfully, properly, that he'll manifest himself before us. We'll see him. Such a wonderful thing. This is the perfection of sacrifice. So it's 8:27, and I have to give class tomorrow morning in the manor. But I was thinking to tell you guys a story. But I think maybe it's too late, and you want to go home and take rest, right?
No!
It's really loud, isn't it? Is anybody here would like to hear a story?
Yes!
So Yudhisthira Maharaj, he performed a Rajasuya Yajna on Hastinapur. And he took advice from Krishna before the sacrifice began. He said, "What do we do? How do we perform this sacrifice?" And Krishna told him, because this is the nature of proper sacrifice, he says, you call all the Brahmins, you chant the mantras, you do all the ceremonies and things, and then, very important, you feed everyone the prasadam. You give everyone the prasadam. You give to the Brahmins, you give to the Sudras and the Vaishyas, you give to the dog eaters, the dogs, you give everyone some prasadam. And Krishna, and Yudhisthira asked Krishna, how will we know if the sacrifice has been successful now? And Krishna took his Panchajanya shell and he put it down on the table. He said, at the end of the sacrifice, the conch shell will start blowing by itself. Okay? So they performed this wonderful sacrifice. They called for the Saptarishis. They did wonderful yajnas and mantras. They fed everybody like anything. What was the name of the person, remember? Thank you. So she's really good. So then the sacrifice was finished, and the conch shell was there. Everybody gathered around the conch shell. And they're waiting. And nothing happened. And Yudhishthira said, "There's something wrong. We were really careful. And we fed everybody, we did everything." Krishna said, "No, there's one person you didn't feed. One devotee of mine. His name is Supacha Vamika. And he's an outcast. He comes from a dog eater's caste, but he's a great devotee. And you didn't invite him, you didn't feed him. So what should we do?" So he said, "You should go and you should invite him to the palace and you should feed him sumptuously." So Yudhishthira sent Bhima and Arjuna. It's pretty far out. The Yuvaraj. He's next in line for the throne after Yudhishthira Maharaj. And they go and they knock on this guy's door. And this poor, little skinny Hare Krishna, so such a person from a dog eater family comes out and his eyes became as big as saucers. "Bhima, what are you doing here? Oh my God." And he said, "Yudhishthira sent us," Bhima said. "And he wants you to come to the palace. We're going to give you something to eat." "I can't go to the palace. I'm a Supacha." "No, no, no. We didn't properly take care of you. So we..." He said, "No, I was okay. I ate the remnants of the Brahmins. After everybody threw their plates in a pile, I went and had the remnants. I was okay. It's no problem. I'm satisfied. I'm okay, really. I can't go to the palace." And Bhima finally became a little annoyed. And Bhima said, "Look, Yudhishthira says you should come to the palace. So you come to the palace. You don't argue with Bhima Singh. Okay." So he went to the palace. And Draupadi personally cooked for him. It's pretty amazing. Draupadi, according to Mahabharata, is a partial manifestation of Lakshmi Devi. She's a good cook. And she made a few hundred preparations in 10 minutes, you know, just like probably more than 10 minutes. But she made a huge, huge feast for him. And she brought that to him. And this Swapacha Vamika is a real humble guy. And he asked me, he said, "Has this been offered? Is this prasadam?" He's a devotee.
Yeah.
And she said, "Yes, in our house we offer everything to Krishna." I said, "Okay." So then he sat down and gave him this huge plate. And so he offered his prayers on the basis of some prasadam. And then he started taking all the different bowls, sweet rice and dal and the bitter melon and the sabji, and he started mixing everything together in one big pile. And Draupadi's watching. She cooked so many preparations, and she didn't say anything, but she's thinking in her mind, "This guy's really a Swapacha. He's really like bad. He really doesn't know." And then that Swapacha, he took a prasad and he went out. Okay. So then everybody gathered around the conch shell and they're all waiting, and nothing happened. And Yudhishthira said, "Krishna, what did we do wrong this time? Well, we invited him, and Draupadi cooked like a huge feast. She never cooked that much for us. I mean, it was amazing." And Krishna said, "Somebody made some offense to that devotee." And Yudhishthira, who's a very gentle person, but he could also be very heavy and required, he became very angry. He called everybody. "Who committed an offense to that devotee? You say something." And everybody... And finally Draupadi, she stepped forward, she said, "I didn't say anything, but I was thinking in my mind that the guy's really a Swapacha, he's really bad, how can..." And so Krishna said, you call him again. So they called him again, and the poor guy's shaking like this. And Krishna, who knows everything, he's Sarvajnana, knows everything. Krishna asked him, he said, "Why did you mix all the prasadam together? I mean, how many of the brahmacharis mix all the prasadam together? So anybody does like that? No. Okay. So why did you do that? That's a little weird, isn't it?" Poor Draupadi, she was really disturbed. She cooked like, this is like, she more than what the queen of England would take. She made such a feast, and you mixed it all together. And that Swapacha, he lowered his head and he said, "Well, He said, I was told this was offered to you. And this is prasadam. And if I start taking different items, and maybe I might like the sweet rice better than I like the dal, or the bitter melon, or the this or that. If I start distinguishing that this item is better than that item, then I'm not really thinking it's prasadam. I'm really thinking it's actually for my pleasure. And I'm not doing service, I'm not respecting the prasadam. And so I mix it all together. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he instructed the devotees to start doing that because they would daily, after he had his meal, the devotees would take his remnants. And different some devotees, I want the sweet ball. You know, so I want the samosa. I want the one that has the bite mark on it. You know, so they were wanting this thing and that thing. So he told them, mix it all together. And they do this in Mayapur to this day. There's some of the noon offering. They mix everything together so you don't distinguish. And so then they understood the greatness of the Supraksha Bhavika. They offered obeisances to him. And he left. And then suddenly, that conch shell began to blow. So we want the conch shell to blow for our sacrifice. We want to do Govardhan Puja. We want to worship that personality who's Govardhana, who nourishes the senses. And who is it that nourishes the senses? Who's a big devata in this age? Who's a manifestation of Govardhan for us? That's Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He pleases everyone. And if we go out in a proper attitude, and we do a proper sacrifice, and the conch shell will start blowing, everyone will become so very, very happy. And it's such a wonderful atmosphere will come. But these are a few community lessons from Govardhan Lila. And tomorrow we'll continue this pastime. So be here, be square. Anybody have any comments or questions?
Dandavat Pranams, thank you for the Hare Katha, very nourishing. I wanted to ask, sometimes when I'm with other devotees and we're performing kirtan, I get a bit confused about how it's actually for Krishna pleasure, because I feel like it's like kind of sahaja to say like Krishna's in Goloka dancing to my kirtan, because like I can't sing like that. So I think like how is he actually like enjoying himself?
Did you ever think when you start chanting japa, what does Krishna think? I'm talking to him. Krishna, I'm talking to you. Mm-hmm. Did your mother ever tell you, I'm talking to you? Mm-hmm. So what do you think? Krishna's doing Rasa with the gopis and all of a sudden he's gonna stop. Not even understanding japa. I have to go. It really doesn't work like that.
Exactly.
That's a wrong conception. Although Krishna does hear it, because Krishna's present in his name. But now if you tell devotees, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes this, but if you tell devotees, it's okay, Vishnu hears it, because Vishnu's everywhere. The devotees who are aspiring for Vrindavan, they won't be very happy. Because they want Krishna, Nandananda, Swayamrup Govinda Krishna, to hear that kirtan. It's for him, not for Vishnu. Although Vishnu and Krishna, Siddhanta Tvasta Vedi, Sri Sri Krishna Sarupa, Rasamesha Sasati, Krishna Eva Sasati, although Vishnu and Krishna are non-different in terms of Siddhanta, Krishna is superior in terms of Rasa. So the devotees, those devotees won't be very happy. So then how is it Krishna, he's Mugdha in the spiritual world, he's paying attention to Radharani. He can't even see the other gopis. He can't even see his feet. Sometimes he stumbles and falls down. Mm-hmm. He trips because he just sees Radharani. Sometimes Krishna goes to milk the cows and he's just looking at Radharani. And he goes over to sit down, he has a bucket, puts under the cow, and he starts milking a bull. Because he's a soul. That's Vrindavan. That's Krishna and Vrindavan. What to speak of my japa, my so-called crying out to Krishna, what is the value of that? But there's an answer. Atah Sri Krishna Namadhi Navadikraim Indriya Seva Mukhi Jiva Dosvayami Vispratita. That Krishna, he hears, but he hears when we do kirtan for the pleasure of Krishna's devotee. Atashi Krishna Namadi Nabhavekra Nindra, with our mundane senses, we can't see, we can't perceive Krishna. But when one begins to do kirtan for the pleasure of Guru, then everything comes together. In Antilila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, it said, Krishna Namera Mahima Shastra Sadhu Mukhi Jani Namera Madhuri Aichi Kaha Nahi Suni. One has to learn, proper transits, one has to learn about the beauty and transcendental position of the holy name of the Lord by hearing the revealed scriptures from the mouths of devotees. Nowhere else can we hear of the sweetness of the Lord's holy name. Prabhupada writes in the purport, his second Padma Purana, Tashu Krishna Namadi Nabhavekraya Nindriyai. Chanting and hearing of the transcendental holy name of the Lord cannot be performed by the ordinary senses. The transcendental vibration of the Lord's holy name is completely spiritual. Therefore, it must be received from spiritual sources and must be chanted after having been heard from a spiritual master. One who hears the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra must receive it from a spiritual master by oral reception. Srila Sanatana Goswami has forbidden us to hear the holy name chanted by non-Vaishnavas, such as actors and singers who will have no effect. So some kirtans we're in, and we're kind of thinking, this guy's really musical, isn't he? He's really putting on a show, and he twirls the baton, catches it, and plays on the gong, and it's like a whole, some dance drum or something, and you're not really sure, is he doing this for that pretty girl over there, trying to impress her? What is the purpose of this thing? Maybe we don't feel so inspired. So we should look behind the veil. There's a veil there. We don't see. All that we may see is that person doing some flashy thing. But look a little beyond that veil and see Srila Prabhupada. See our Guru Maharaj, who's ordered that kirtan. And although they may not be doing it in the best spirit, where it's the most pleasing to the heart, still they're doing something. They're doing that kirtan and that service for Guru. Still at the same time, we should know we want to do Krishna kirtan. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said there's a difference between Krishna kirtan and Maya kirtan. And Maya kirtan is when we're doing kirtan for our pleasure because I like the music or I want to be a famous rock star kirtaniya or I want to impress this young girl or this or that. That's Maya kirtan. We're not doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. And that's not very inspiring. But if we find ourselves in the middle of that kirtan, try to look beyond the veil. And try to see that this is ordered by Srila Prabhupada, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I'm taking part in it. But still at the same time, let's look for those kirtaniyas who have some feeling. Let's want to be in those kirtans if someone's really crying out to Krishna. Okay?
Can I ask one more question? So, what you mentioned about who we're performing kirtan for the pleasure of, and like, I have some friends who are actually from different kind of sanghas, and like some of my friends, they sing Maha Mantra and they have like a lot of faith in Prabhupada, they love Prabhupada, they love other like Gaudiya Gurus, but their main like inspiration comes from somewhere where might not be considered bona fide by certain people in this movement. So if like we know this person very intimately and we believe that they're doing it sincerely to try and find some connection with Krishna in their heart, but they have a guru or they're taking the name from somewhere which is questionable, what is more important?
Srila Prabhupada writes in Nectar Devotion, says there's many societies of pure devotees. Chaitanya Charitamrita says that ISKCON is one of the branches of the Chaitanya tree. And we should be happy when we see anyone chanting their holy name. And the principle is there that we should chant for the pleasure of Krishna's devotee. And Krishna has many, many devotees. In our society, Srila Prabhupada is like the glue that keeps everyone together. And devotees hopefully have some love for Prabhupada. Hopefully they've heard about the sacrifices that Prabhupada did, the things that he's done, and they really have something in their heart And hopefully he's not just a Christ kind of figure, but everyone can come together for his pleasure and do something. That's a wonderful thing. But we don't say, like the Christians who say that, you know, he's the way, the truth, and the light. No man can come to the Father but by him. Prabhupada never said that. He said, I have many God brothers in many different societies, many different Vaishnavas. And Prabhupada invited them to come. Prabhupada invited them to come to Mayapur, and they came to Kirtan with them. And we respect all types of different Vaishnavas. If we don't respect them, then what are we doing? And we're just pushing some kind of institution or something. And we should be pushing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. But we have this Seva Sangha. And I'm part of this. I won't go elsewhere because I want to please Srila Prabhupada. Because he's my Param Gurudev. And that's a simple thing. Because of bhakti. Not because we're the best and everybody else is the hajjis and nonsense and this and that. Neophyte people may say like that. If you have a 3 or 4 year old child, you tell him, don't go outside the fence of the yard, right? And the 3-year-old child says, why not? And what are you going to tell him? You know, somebody's going to kidnap you, a car's going to run you over, a dog's going to bite you, a kangaroo might kick you. What are you going to tell him? There's so many things that may happen. Right? So you tell him, well, because everybody on the other side of the fence is bad. That's an easy thing to say, right? So the little kid stays on his side of the fence, and everybody that goes by, he shakes his finger and says, you're bad, you're bad, you're bad. And it's kind of cute. And people who go by who are mature, they laugh. And it's okay, I understand why the kids are saying like that. But if that same kid grows up and he's a 35-year-old man, and he still stays behind the fence, and he's still shaking his finger like this with everybody, we consider that a little weird. We should still be part of our family, and I may still stay in my father's house. But it's not that I have to shake my finger at everybody else and think that everybody's bad. I may have so many friends. That's our mission. Our mission is to make friends with people. There's so many people outside to make friends with. And what to speak of different Gaudiya Vaishnavas, there's people out there who are Muslims, who are Christians, who are different types of Hindus and Sikhs, and atheists. And we're not only supposed to just go out there and use them and take money from them, we're supposed to go out there and love them and give them books and be caring for them. And what to speak of other Vaishnavas. But we may not be able to share Krishna Katha exactly together. And that's a lesson we learned from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyayoga chapter 13. There's so many different sampradayas, different groups that come together. And we have this particular sampradaya. Sometimes people, they say, oh, you ISKCON people, you don't know so many things. You know, that's fine. You want to call me a nigger Vaishnav? I'll make a t-shirt. I'm a nigger Vaishnav. Fine. But this is my mission. This is a mission of my Gurudev. And I'm going to stay in this thing. I'm going to serve. Because that's bhakti. And I'm also going to respect anyone who serves their guru in the same way. Okay? Would you have something?
Just to clarify, thank you for coming to London. Sure, all the devotees are really happy that you're here. I just wanted to clarify, so when Krishna was talking to Govardhan Hill, Govardhan Hill is Krishna himself talking, right? Is that what you meant? and if so, is that why devotees worship Krishna in the Govardhan's story?
If you get a copy of this magazine, we've written very elaborately about that. I'll give you the skinny, okay? But the skinny is something I can say in one sentence, but there's about 20 pages inside here which explain it and fluff it out in a way that you will understand better. But just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, he's Vishnu Tattva, but he's in the mood of a devotee. So also is Giriraj. And that's the mood of our Goswamis. They worship him as a devotee. I may say something more about that tomorrow at this time.
Yeah, so that leads on to my next question. And if devotees worship Giriraj as Krishna, where's Radharani? And I know that Lord Chaitanya, he gave with a Gunjamala. I just wanted to know if you could explain what the Gunjamala, because I know in South America as well they have the Gunjamala. So I just wanted to know, because you gave the class about Jagannath, where Radharani.
He always asks real simple, easy.
I was just next one is the devotees worship Giriraj with Radharani, or is it just Krishna alone?
Well, that depends on their conception, doesn't it? Do they worship Giriraj with Radharani? I'd like to, before we say anything else, my mom, please, my wife, I'm going to pass around this little piece of paper. And this is something I do as my service to my Guru Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada. We have a bi-weekly magazine called Sri Krishna Katamita Bindu. We have over 10,000 subscribers. Every issue we have, we just came out with issue number 427, I think it is. It's been coming out for a long time. Every issue has new translations and wonderful Krishna Katha. And you can get a free subscription if you legibly write your email. Okay, so pass it around. And I'll try to answer something.
And if I get question.
Yes. So, that's a really big question. And I really didn't want to go on. Are you going to be here tomorrow? Maybe I'll try to answer that tomorrow. Because really, it's a very big question. But the answer is yes, Srimati Radharani is there. 100%. If she's not there, then why would Raghunath Das Goswami want to go and stay there? One simple answer is, Jiva Goswami says in Gopal Champu that one of the names of Radharani is she's Kandavasi. It means she lives in the caves in Govardhan Hill. So Radharani is always there. That's a place where she meets with Krishna on Govardhan Hill. Radharani is always there. And Govardhan Hill, especially, is a special place for Srimati Radharani. Maybe we'll try to say something about it tomorrow. We have a presentation we like to call The Mountain of Love, which is, answers your question. You have something else?
Yeah, I just wanted to know about like Krishna when he was a baby, where Radharani was there. Because like when Krishna, when he lived in Govardhan Hill, he was only 7 years old. At that time, did he still have a relationship with Radharani at that age? Or?
It's described by our acharyas in Shastra that there's never a time, there's never a place when Srimati Radharani and Krishna are not together. But we need to have the vision for that. Even when the Lord comes as Narayan Rishi, and he's a sannyasi brahmachari, and no girls allowed in the brahmachari ashram, right? But in the case of Narayan Rishi, maybe no girls are allowed in the ashram, but Radharani's there, she comes as a shadow. And when the Lord comes as the Purush, she comes as Prakriti. See, whatever form the Lord manifests himself in, Srimati Radharani comes and is in another form. And she's also there in Giriraj. And that's another explanation of the wrong thing.
And the last question I wanted to ask is, one devotee, I think it's, I don't know if you told me this, but I just wanted to clarify if it's true or not, if it's just hearsay, that different Shilas in Govardhan Hill will represent different things. So the black ones will represent Krishna, the golden one, like, and then the white ones are Balaram. Is that true, or is that just like what a hearsay?
You just get the page number.
Honestly. Okay.
I think it's page 28. No, it's not. It's page 60. There's an article I wrote, actually, called Conceptions of Worship. And we analyze these two verses from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's Braj Riti Chintamani, which sometimes people cite to support the idea that some Shivas are Balaram, or the whitish, and some Shivas are Radharani, they're golden. And we study these very carefully, all the Sanskrit words, and it doesn't say anything like that at all. It just says it reminds them of those personalities. It's a long, kind of crooked presentation, this particular article, because we pointed out that there is zero tradition amongst our Goswamis of worship of Govardhan Shivas as Balaram or as Radharani. We don't hear anywhere in the literatures, in the writings, in the tradition. There's zero. But kind of summarize this article quickly. We began discussing this, and one problem that came up philosophically is called Parinamavad, and I discussed this the other day in class. Parinamavad is when the Lord manifests himself as Shakti, Srimati Radharani Shakti Tattva, manifests himself as Shakti, or as a devotee, like Ganesh, and we gave the example of Jagannath's Pati Desh, and he dresses up like Ganesh. And how the Sri Vaishnavas, who are strict followers of Ramanujacharya's Vedantic teachings, they can't accommodate that. They say this is bogus, dressing Jagannath like Ganesh, because that's Parinamabad. Ganesh is a jiva, how can you do that? But I considered this thing a lot more carefully, and we went to Govardhan many times. We've been researching this magazine for about 25 years. We researched this. And I realized that there are several examples in Chaitanya Charitamrita and other pastimes of Mahaprabhu, where Mahaprabhu manifested the mood of Balaram, or he manifested the mood of Lord Shiva. And the devotees would start offering prayers to Lord Shiva. Now, it doesn't mean that they thought, now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has become Lord Shiva. They didn't think that. Mahaprabhu is Mahaprabhu, but he's in the mood of Lord Shiva at that time. Similarly, Jagannath. It's not that we think, oh, now he's Ganesh. He became Ganesh. No. He's in the mood of his devotee, Ganesh. So, similarly, Giriraj, there's a tradition in Braj, and we mentioned this the other morning. If you go to not far from the town of between Aniyur and Jatipura, you'll find there's a small place where Indra worship Krishna on top of the hill, and Airava's footprint is there. And in that area, not very far, about halfway up the hill, some bridge bosses might check this out for us. There's a small Shiva, which is a Shivlinga. And they worship as Gopeshwar Mahadev. And not far from there's another stone, which is in the form of Hanuman. And they, for, I don't know, it's hundreds, maybe thousands of years, they've been worshiping that Shiva as Hanuman. And not far from that, just a little on the other side of the hill, there's a Shiva that they've been worshiping as Balaram for a long, long time. But none of those Shilas, they don't consider that now Giriraj has become Shiva, or Giriraj has become Hanuman, or Giriraj has become Bala. They think he's in that particular mood. So I felt satisfied with that conception, because we don't want to discourage and hurt people who have different conceptions of Giriraj. And this is our Gaudiya Vaishnava life. We're not like the Sri Vaishnavas. We understand that sometimes the Lord actually relishes being in the mood of his devotee. Okay? Very esoteric questions. Yes, please.
Hare Krishna Guru. Krishna managed to convince the bridge buses as a simple-hearted to serve and do puja, Govardhan puja, and simply the example of the doggy, the gentleman and the doggy family.
But not Indra.
If you had the Adivasis, they're very simple-hearted as well. And if you come with them to say, Krishna is Ishwara, and they worship in the forest and the flowers and the stones and the trees. So simply, how to really understand that, how to explain it to them.
How to explain to the Adivasis that Krishna is supreme?
Yeah, because they have a similar conception, simple-hearted, and everything has been provided for by what we have around us.
Perhaps, if I can put it in a different way, perhaps what you're asking is, what if someone is so simple that they're just attracted to Krishna and they just worship Krishna in a simple way. But then you come and say, no. We have to understand he's God. And he can pick up big things, and he breaks things, and he creates things, and he does all that kind of stuff because he's God. And you should understand that, otherwise you're wrong. A similar problem happened with Gopa Kumar. You see, Gopa Kumar was a very simple Bujbasi, he was a cowherd boy living in Govardhan. And one day, he was taking bath in the Jamuna, and he met this sadhu who was so ecstatic, and the sadhu said, hey, come here. And he just whispered this mantra, and he just said, chant this mantra. And then he went away. He didn't even explain the mantra to Gopa Kumar, what it meant. Gopa Kumar, wow, that's pretty far out. So he started chanting the mantra. It was a powerful mantra. And by the strength of that mantra, he went to Indralok, and Maharlok, and Tapalok, and Janalok, and Shivalok, and Brahmalok, and all these different places. And finally, he went to Vaikuntha. On the strength of this mantra. And he was always looking for the deity of the mantra. And when he went to Vaikuntha and he saw Lord Narayana, he said, this is it. This is the man of my mantra. And he went and ran him and they stopped and said, we don't do that here. We go with bowed head and we bow down and we offer prayers and like that, okay. And so he started staying there for some time. And then they started coming up to him and telling him, the way you're dressed, we don't do like that here. You see, you should have forearms. and you should dress in very opulent clothes, and you're dressed like a cowherd boy. And we don't do that here. And Gopal Kumar, he thought about that. I like being dressed like a cowherd boy. And he didn't, he just didn't say anything. And then he was going every day to be with Lord Vishnu, and he was so happy. It was so good with Lord Vishnu. And he'd stay after everybody else left, and finally get late at night, and Lakshmi Devi would be there. And she'd be kind of making some signs. It's getting a little late now, isn't it? You know, don't she have something to be doing? And finally understood, oh, I have to go. And he was really unhappy. This is not the place for me. So we don't have to tell everybody that necessarily that Krishna's bad. We don't have to convince them that he's big and that he's powerful and whatever. If someone has some feeling for him, that's good. At the same time, how many people are really on that platform? That's the question. They may be simple, but they're not simple in the same way that Vrijbasis are simple. In the same way that the Gopal Kumar is simple. So it is required that we say something to them. And that's why we have our classes and everything. But we should also say something about Krishna sometimes. Yes.
Thank you, Guruji. You mentioned the four things that lady researched about community and how that relates to devotees. So what if you have personalities who want to be part of the community, who are in the community, but they don't want to participate in these activities?
How can they be part of the community? So they should have another community. And that's okay. It's not that everybody has to be part of our community. Why should they?
They've subscribed to it. They are. They stay in the residence or they come regularly, but they don't want to take part in the activity.
Well, that's not Vrindavan. That's something else. That may be an institution or something. And then the atmosphere is not so happy then. And we're always going to feel a little something. Gosh, I wish you would come to Mangalartik. I wish you'd come to the Kirtan. We feel a little something in our heart. And sometimes neophyte devotees, they start criticizing them or doing this or that. That's the job for managers to do. But it's disappointing. We should all be on the same page, and that's why we want to come and stay here. If you want to go and live in some Shaolin temple, Buddhist temple, or if you want to live with some Gregorian monks or something, you have to go to all the programs. You have to do everything, otherwise they don't let you live in there. We should have two things, is my humble vision. We should have ISKCON, the institution, and there'll be other institutions also, speaking about that. And we should have the Hare Krishna movement. And that's a separate thing. The Hare Krishna movement means Boy George, and George Harrison, and the whole world. And we just get everybody to chant Hare Krishna, and it doesn't belong to us. But the ISKCON institution is meant to train Brahmins. It's meant to have a place where we can go out for book distribution, where we can train devotees, we can have deity worship, we can have festivals, we can have education, those things. That's what the institution is for. But that's not necessarily the Hare Krishna movement. We don't own the Hare Krishna mantra. And if other people, Alice Coltrane wants to chant that, or you don't know who Alice Coltrane is, you're joking. A little bit. I feel like a fossil sometimes. Or the Beatles or something want to do, you know, that's what's the problem. You know Alice Coltrane, right? Yes, okay. I feel bad.
I know. YouTube.
You can look it up in some dusty old encyclopedia. Not so old. See, very famous jazz musician who'd like to chant Hare Krishna during the 60s and 70s. Okay. Anything else, sister? Do you have something to point to somebody? Would you? Speak really loud. My hearing's a little hard with the wind, the fan, and everything.
Learning about Divya Govardhan that we have from the devotees, and I was going to try and find out what should be our mood when we worship Divya Govardhan when we have Radha Ramaneshwara. Now we have Divya Govardhan.
Okay, so the question is, we have our Govardhan Shiva here, what should be our mood toward Govardhan in relationship with Radha Ramaneshwara? That's a very interesting question. That's why we have Krishna Katha. Because very frankly, we're not on the same page. And the fact that you're asking that question is indicative of that. Because there's different ideas, there's different conceptions. And frankly, Srila Prabhupada didn't speak anything about that. I'll tell you something though. Let's find it. Page 97. There's an interesting article called Prabhupada's Mysterious Briefcase. It's really cool. Prabhupada had this white briefcase that he carried everywhere with him, and he wouldn't let anyone look inside of it.
Wow.
I've seen a number of photographs of Prabhupada with it. Actually, last time we went to Delhi, we were giving classes, and I'm sitting down speaking about this magazine, and I look at the photograph, big photograph of Prabhupada next to him, and Prabhupada's got that white briefcase in the picture. Oh, so it's a long story, but Ugrashava Prabhu, Prabhupada's disciple, saw this briefcase. It's getting really old. So he thought, I'll buy Prabhupada a really nice, fancy briefcase, saffron colored, and put his name on it and everything. So he made this fancy briefcase, and he gave it to Prabhupada. Prabhupada looked at it, he opened it up, checked it out, and then he took his white bag, and he started taking things out of the bag. And he had some beads, an extra pair of glasses, and different things. And then he put some things in the new bag, then he put some things back in the old bag, and he finally gave the old bag to Ugrashava Prabhu. And included in that old bag, on page 98 in the magazine, you see on the bottom, were four Govardhan Shiras. And Srila Prabhupada was carrying some Govardhan Shiras with him. Devotees don't know that, it's really far out there. So Prabhupada didn't tell him that you should worship them like this, like a devotee or Krishna, or this way or that way. He really didn't say. That doesn't mean I wouldn't read very much into that. I would just take it very simply, because Srila Prabhupada didn't say a lot about many things. To give a vivid example, when they installed the deities of Jagannath Bali Subhadra in San Francisco, they waved a candle. There was no Abhishek, there was no fire sacrifice, there was no Prana Pratishtha mantras, there was no Artik. They just all waved a candle, and they did kirtan. And Prabhupada considered that to be the deity installation. They asked Prabhupada, is there anything else that we should do? Any other rules or anything? Prabhupada said, not right now. Because they would faint. So it doesn't mean there's nothing there. But there are different conceptions of worship of Giriraj. But my strong feeling is that when we speak about a community, different communities may have different conceptions. But how do we get on the same page? That's what's important. More important than this conception or that conception is that we have a joint conception. And that we can all come together and worship. So how do we come to that joint conception? It's a very, very important thing. That comes by coming together and having Krishna Katha and discovering paraspara. Paraspara means back and forth, some discussion. And just for the record, we wrote a long article in this magazine, what's it called? On page 14, it's called The Identity of Govardhan Hill. And we examined very, very carefully every conception, every type of conception that we could find of Giriraj. Where the Brijbasis considered him to be Baba, like a father or an elderly person. And how some Vaishnavas consider him to be Krishna. And some personalities consider him to be a devotee. And who is he really? And what do our Goswamis say? What does the Bhagavatam say? And how do we understand? Very careful analysis. I don't know if devotees will accept the analysis or not. You have to read it and see for yourself. But that's part of our community. We write things, we put forward ideas, we have some discussion, then we come to a joint consensus. It's important. It's a good question. I'm not going to suggest that everybody should think like this. That would be a little boring, but you should come together and have some idea together. Okay? Anything else? Okay, we're going to stop there because I have to early morning program tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhakta Binda ki, Gur Prema Nande, Vancha Kalpa Devish Chakra, Sukhudin Vichara, Vitanam, Bhavanam, Vaishnavi, Vaishnavi,
Vaishnavi, Vaishnavi, Vaishnavi,
Vaishnavi,
Vaishnavi, Vaishnavi, Vaishnavi, Vaishnavi, Vaishnavi, to encourage all the devotees to say many things, and also, can we have a little group picture?
Also, devotees are asking us about the magazines. We have a few copies of these left.
How much they are?
And they're £10 each. We don't have some, there's only a few copies. If you want to get one, these other magazines, we have a couple of Putana magazines even. Yeah. You can give Lakshmi to my wife. Because she's the goddess of fortune.
Or at least you represent.
So we're going to have a group picture. Do I have to do anything different?
Maybe just remove the harmonium so there's more space.
Okay. You okay?
Yeah. Thank you for answering the question, sir.
I might get in trouble. I don't care. This is a Prabhupada's movement. I saw it, you can see how Prabhupada's movement is. And I saw how my grandma is. And this is a nice shot. You should say that. And if people don't like it, fine. Don't ask me to come.
Really quickly, you said that there's three meanings of cow. Is it the cows?
Cows? Cowherd people. Gopis, gopis. Yeah, gopis, the sense of us.
And can I ask a quick question? I was really shocked when I was told that when Krishna had listened to us at cows, and I got that when Krishna was in Dhamma, Rajas Krishna didn't have the Dhamma, but it was a different Krishna that led to Vrindavan. So my question is, where did it go? Why did they feel the separation?
That's a good question. Because I know about four different answers here. It takes about a week, 2 hours to get a properly answer. I can say, I'll give you a couple of quick things. There's a mobile that is one that some people say that he's hiding in the bushes.
Okay.
He's watching everything. Another answer is, that he answers you with a heart of gravity. What happens when he is in the heart of Radharani? How much is it? But in any case, Vrindavan Parityaga, Krishna never takes one step out of Vrindavan. There's always a Vrindavan.
Oh, also
there's a lot of different words.
Okay. Thank you very much. Everybody, please come. We're going to take a picture.
Photographs.
Yeah, I can do that. See, the thing is with group photographs, you have to have organized religion, right? Otherwise, it doesn't work. So, everybody, please come over here somewhere. Who's taking the picture? Krishna Kun, you do it also. Give the non sankirtan. The non sankirtan, you got to be in the picture. Okay, you take one, and then somebody else will come. You. Krishna Kohan, you got to be in the picture. It's important. Right. How can there be life? You got it. What do you call it? How can there be life without selfies, right?
I am. Okay.
Yeah, do one with that camera also, that phone. Krishna Kun, come. Okay, is everybody in the picture? That's the first thing, is organization first. Is everybody inside?
Everyone's in the picture.
You captured everybody inside the box.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Haribo!
Haribo!
Okay, I took a few.
Okay, now with this other one. And then you got to come and somebody else will take your picture.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Haribo!
Haribo!
You gotta come over here. Not on the side of the wall. That's cheating. There's a big hole here. It's just meant for you. You got him in the picture also? Make sure he's there.
Yeah, everyone's in.
Don't let him cheat.
Haribo!
Haribo!
Very nice. I'll take off the helmet. Yeah, I will.
Haribo!
Haribo! Amazing, thank you.
Those are going to Scotland Yard, right? Oh,
thank you so much.
Hi, Krishna. Kalamanchi?
Yes.
You speak Hindi?
Mm-hmm.
Bengali? Hindi, you don't say Kalam. This is another word.
Sorry.
You don't say Kalam. You say Kalam. Pen.
Oh, Kalam.
Yeah.
Bengali.
Hindi is also
the
same.
Kalam. Kalam. Totally different.
I use always a pencil to make the notes.
Oh, we're on that.
It's okay.
Why did you?
Oh, I can take it from downstairs. It's Giri Rogers giving it to me. Thank you. class was so nice because I was reading Shivram Maharaj's Vainikita, and the last two chapters are just about Haridasa Varya, and I just discovered this concept, and it was just amazing.
Yeah, we stole magazines in that class.
Is it your first time to London?
No, we came here in 2007.
Wow, you should come more often. You know what you said about when Krishna is in Vrindavan, his only attention is solely on Srimati Radharani. If that's the case, and you know, there were other devotees aspiring for Raj Krishna to pray to him. Does he ever?
So what should they do?
Yeah.
Those devotees should take shelter of Radharani.
Yeah.
And Radharani she pushes him. Mm-hmm. Therefore, Krishna himself said that Vina Radha Prasadina, Ma Prasadina tradition. So Krishna says that without Radharani's mercy, no one can get me.
And Lord Chaitanya. Mm-hmm.
Hare Krishna, who do you need it?
Ratan. Yes. No, I need one. We do it. Sorry. I have little, because my English is not very good, not good, but I understand. Can you sign your... So, Excel Prabhupada already...